Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome back to Not Another Mummy Podcast with me, Alison Perry. My guest today is Jessica Chalmers. Now, Jess runs online safety workshops for parents, businesses and schools, helping families to navigate the digital world. She's also a mum of two and very, very busy with it. Jess, welcome to the podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me.
It's so good to see you. What's your day been like so far?
Well, so far my day has been very much packing my son, boys' drama show at the end of the day. It'll be last minute finding 3 costumes we did this morning. And then getting my daughter to school on a broken stew cell, trying to carry code. So that's my morning so far.
Oh my goodness, like typical glamorous motherhood stuff. Honestly, we're all there with you. Now, I don't think I'm alone in feeling quite terrified about the dangers of the online world and, you know, my kids operating in that world. Do you think that that's a problem in itself? Do you think that us being scared is stopping us from tackling this head on?
Yeah, I think exactly. I mean, I know exactly how you feel, Alison, which is why I pivoted my business. And completely changed it and started doing child safety online stuff because I was the mum that was panicking and thinking, God, I don't know this stuff. I terrified myself watching The Social Dilemma on Netflix. And literally from that moment, I then thought, right, I've got to do something about it. And my friends, we were all like in equal like panic stations. So I know exactly how parents feel.
I think so many. I think that must have happened like across the country. Feel like so many parents watched The Social Dilemma on Netflix and were like WhatsApping each other in horror. Like, have you seen this? What are we going to do? Oh my goodness. Like, we're completely done for.
Exactly. And that is exactly what happened to me. And so that kind of thought, I thought, right, come on, Jess, I need to do something. I need to learn this stuff. And friends were like, oh, can you just learn it and tell us? So that's kind of how it started. And I was like, I can learn it from you.
Can you do all the work, please, Jess, and then tell us?
Exactly. That's exactly what happened. So that's kind of how my business was born. But I do think absolutely there was a problem because when you don't know something, there's a tendency just to think, I don't know it. I don't want to know it because then I've got to, you know, want to deal with it. But that's why I feel really passionately that parents do need to educate themselves because we can't expect our children, you know, to know how to behave online, to know what to do online unless we kind of guide them. And the same way we guide them to ride a bike and we guide them to cross the road, this is just another thing that we just need to know. And so, and I think our generation are the first generation of parents with little ones, you know, with smartphones being connected to the internet. I mean, this hasn't happened from generations above us. So we have to, it's our duty, I suppose, to know this.
It's interesting, isn't it? Like you're saying that about riding a bike and crossing the road. I always think of it as like you wouldn't hand, like when your child turns 17, you wouldn't hand them a set of car keys and be like, oh, off you go. Well, you know, you've watched us drive for the last few years and, you know, you pretty much know what you're doing. So off you pop. Like, of course you wouldn't. Yet there's arguably as many dangers, if not more dangers on the internet. And we're just like handing them a device and being like, here you go, off you go. It's like, it's kind of mad when you think about it.
Yeah, that's a great analogy. I'm going to use that in my workshop for Carl one. That's brilliant. Exactly. It's you know, and they're powerful things, these devices. And, you know, we're handing them, hands off, I've done it too, you know, that when they're little, you're just trying to get on, you're trying to get a job done. So you throw them a Kindle, you throw them your phone, you throw them the thing, because you just need to get all that stuff. So, yeah, I just think as long as we know, you haven't got to know everything, because let's be honest, we gave birth to digital natives. So they know better than anyone that they will, because they sort of have been, they could swipe or they could read, they could scroll before they could, you know, write. That's what they're like. But we just need to stay abreast of the technology. And if we just know enough to keep them safe and to guide them, then that's kind of, I believe, what we need.
It's so true, isn't it? Digital natives, like, you know, and it's not something I'm necessarily proud of, but the fact that my twins just turned 5, and for the last 2 years, they've been able to navigate their way around like an iPad or my phone. If I'm handing them my phone, you know, they'll know to swipe up to get out of an app. And then the other day, they were giggling. They both got like secondhand iPads that they use, and they were giggling and like talking about how they were sending each other photographs. And I was like, "What are you doing?" And they'd worked out how to airdrop photos to each other, and then they were starting to airdrop photos to me, and they were like taking selfies of themselves and then airdropping me the pictures. So I was like, "Can you just stop doing that? I'm trying to send someone a message."
It's amazing, isn't it? 5.
But yeah, it's kind of terrifying, like how much they can do.
It's incredible. A 5-year-old can do that. I mean, it's amazing. They're so clever. And, you know, and I will probably say at this point that I'm really pro-technology. I don't think it's the devil. I don't think it's terrible. I think we're really lucky that our children are growing up with all the benefits of technology. But of course, what comes of that? Oh, there's risks. They throw the constant everything, isn't there? There's good things, there's risks. It's just knowing what they are so we can help them have a safer, more positive time online. But I think that's the thing. We want them to have a nice time when they're online. We want it to be a positive experience for them. And so, yeah.
So what are the key things that we need to consider? Like, would you say it's different depending on the age of the child?
Well, I think it's kind of the point that I come from. Of course it changes. And when I go into schools, for example, I have like workshops I do for little ones in like year 5. And I've got very different workshops I do to year sort of 10, 11. Of course, I'm talking about maybe news, sharing news, and then I'm talking about, you know, how to block and report with the little ones. But I do think it's like anything. I think the same rules apply wherever you are. And I think for me, the number one thing is conversation is key. I think for parents, if we can educate ourselves and know kind of how to keep our children safe online, and we talk to our children about the stuff, but not just talk to them and scare them and say, be careful of this, be careful of that. If we have everyday conversations like, I don't know, hey, how much in Minecraft world coming along, or what made you laugh on TikTok today, what was funny on YouTube? Because if we talk about the everyday stuff and we make that normal, then if they ever come up with something that makes them feel weird in their tummy or someone upsets them, and when we talk about, oh, how did Ellen, you know, what why did up, and then they might say, actually mummy, this thing happened today that did make me feel very good, and then you're used to having that conversation with you. So I think conversation at any age is key. But I suppose from a young age, I would say one of the most important things you can do is teach your child to screenshot on every device that they use. So let's say they're on a Kindle, I have to Google this, on a Kindle, a smartphone, a laptop, whatever it might be. Show them how to take a screenshot, because then if anyone does send them something, and I always use that kind of makes them feel funny in their tummy, because that kind of, they know that feeling. If someone says, if maybe someone's saying something weird to them or say that unkind to them, they can then save that message as evidence if they might need it. And this is especially relevant to things like Snapchat and WhatsApp that have disappearing messages. But also teaching your children, I think it's really key, on any thing that they're on, whether it's a game or a social media, show them how to block and report. Because it empowers them. You know, in the moment, they can block that person, report that person as being unkind to them. They've taken a screenshot, they've blocked before them, and they can move on. They haven't got to dwell on it and worry about it because they're dealing with it in the moment. So I would say screenshot, log reports, wham on to your children about that, and you know, get them bored of you. And I think that is, for me, is the key.
That's really good advice.
Yeah, I just think, you know, and my son's like, oh, mommy, it's so boring. I know, screen grab, block reports, I know. But I'm like, yeah, but I want him to be bored of me, because then it will become second nature. Someone says something, bing, 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 and he'll just do it. And he'll just, like, yeah, move on.
do you know what it's like? It's a bit like when I walk my five-year-olds to school, we get to the road that we have to cross. And every single day I say, right, girls, what do we do here? And they say, stop, look and listen, which is obviously, that's like a phrase that comes from like our childhood. There was like adverts that had stop, look and listen on. And yeah, like they are at the point now where they're like, yes, we know, stop, look and listen. But it's good. You want it to be so drilled into them that it's just second nature. I guess it's exactly the same with
exactly
screenshot, block and report, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly the same. That's really, yeah, exactly the same. I just, yeah, because that, but that's a fun, then you've got, you've kind of got the, it's something mean, it's something weird. You've kind of, you've got them out of, you know, that game or whatever it is. And I think that's the thing. So say, you know, someone says, mummy, can I have TikTok? Mummy, can I have FIFA? Yeah, okay, let's sit down together. I'm going to show you how to block a report. I'm going to show you how to screenshot on this device. And then, you know, people do that with everything. And every time they go on something, at least they've got that. They've got the basics.
Yeah. I'll tell you what might be quite helpful. In case anyone's listening, so I've got a 13-year-old and little ones. You've got kind of tween, preteen kids, haven't you?
Yeah.
Someone might be listening who's got younger kids and they're listening to this episode because they know that at some point in the future, online safety is something that will be on their radar. It might be quite helpful if we just like run through what kind of roughly at what age things become a consideration. Because I know, for example, when my eldest was about 7 or 8, she was really nagging me to allow her to play Roblox. And for a long time, I was like, no, no, no. I don't want you playing Roblox because there's like a chat facility and you might get strangers messaging you. And a lot of people aren't really aware. They might think, oh, well, it's just a game that they're playing. Like, surely it's a bit like us playing Tetris when we were kids. Do you want to just like really quickly run through in general? I know that obviously you can't cover everything, but at like kind of at this age, this is something you might want to consider or be aware of.
Yeah, that's a really good shout. So I think at all ages, especially the young children, you want to be thinking about putting safe search on your Google, which is really simple to do. Google it. You want to be thinking about
so safe search. Does that mean that they, if they put in certain terms, nothing will come up? Because actually, that's not something that I'm aware of. And my little ones, like I said, they've got like iPads that they use, and if they go onto Safari, they can I mean, not that they can't even spell at the moment, so they're not going to be typing search terms in. But I didn't realize that you could put a safe search on Google.
Yeah, you can do a Google safe search. Exactly. I've made a post about it on my Instagram page, so it gives you step by step instructions on how to do that. So if anyone's on Instagram, without accessing it, it's very simple. It's like 3 steps. But you can do that, and you can look at Find Me on there, or you can just literally put it to Google, how to set up Google Safe Search. You can also change, I believe it's called, I won't say Snool, but that's the thing. There's also, I can't remember, there's also a safe search you can have just for, it's a children's search engine you can use.
Right.
So that's sort of the ones you want to use that, you can do that. I would say as well, a really key thing to do, which is free and it's simple and it's really easy peasy, is setting up your with your broadband provider, just putting on the parental controls there. It takes, you know, literally 2 minutes. And a great place to go for this is called internetmatters.org, who I think are the best organization ever. And
they're really good.
They're so good, aren't they? And they make it so easy for us parents, because although I'm talking about tech and I'm talking about how they say, I'm not naturally a techie person. You know, I'm doing this from a parent's point of view. I'm not someone who's come from a techie background. So I find it can all be a bit tricky, but Internet Matters make it really simple. They give you step-by-step instructions. So if you're with Virgin or Sky, whoever it might be, go check out Internet Matters, go into the parental controls, type in Sky, and it will show you how to set up that. So that's another way to kind of a layer of protection on. So I recommend doing that. The key age, actually, for having these conversations with children is 7 to 11 is kind of the age that a lot of online safety experts talk about kind of getting this conversation across. And I'm not saying if a child's younger than that, they're too young, if they're older than that, then they've missed the boat. But it tends to be between 7 and 11 that children make their first sort of tiptoe steps online. So I think getting it all, kind of having the conversation, getting it set up then is really key. But going back to what you said, yes, I would say my daughter is 8 and she's desperate to go on Roblox. Her brother was probably on Roblox around about now. I'm sorry, I'm holding off with her because she plays so nicely with her dollies. And I just think, please just play a bit nice. And so they're just, oh, yes, 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 we'll talk about it on the weekends. And they're just bobbing her off a bit. But Roblox tends to be a stepping stone. Now, Roblox isn't just one game. It's just you can play all sorts of games on Roblox. And you've got to be aware that, of course, it's not, although a lot of children play Roblox, it is open to everybody. But the great thing about Roblox is it's got brilliant parental controls. So if you are worried about the child being on Roblox, also chatting to strangers, you can turn all that stuff off so they just play on their own. So that's something. I think when they get a bit older, they like to learn a bit of Minecraft and then maybe want to like get into Fortnite when they're kind of 12-ish, I found kind of tends to be the way it goes. And again, on all of these things, yes, they can play and they can chat to people and they can do that. But if while they're little, while they're young, I would highly recommend using the brilliant safety settings, parental controls that they have on there. Again, you can find a step-by-step instructions on these on Internet Matters. Or you could put in Fortnite safety settings into Google and it takes you straight to the safety center. Sorry, so you put in Fortnite safety center, Minecraft safety center, TikTok safety center, whatever it is you want to find out. And they all have safety centers and they all give really easy peasy step-by-step instructions of making it safe.
Brilliant.
And then I suppose you then sort of become a teenager and then it becomes social media. And then it's TikTok, Snapchat, Instagram, that's where you kind of want to really get yourself put up, because that's another fish altogether. And again, I would highly recommend going to their safety centres or Fiji's Nathas.
Yeah, I've just searched while you were talking, I just searched for that. The child friendly search engine is called Swiggle. So the website is swiggle.org.uk.
I knew it wasn't, yeah, okay.
It's not Smiggle, that's where you buy your overpriced pens and notepads.
That's like... the smell of weird strawberries, of plastic strawberries.
Yeah,
exactly. Yes,
kids Swiggle, love that stuff, don't they?
Oh, they love it. They love it.
So my 13-year-old, she's got a phone, she's got WhatsApp, and when she turned 13, after so much discussion, we allowed her to have Snapchat. We actually did this thing where there was a great book by Natasha Devon, which is all about how to be your best online self, and it's a book for tweens and teens.
Oh, amazing.
And I made my daughter read this book. And because I'm really mean, I said to her, okay, I want you to write a summary of each chapter and what you've learned. I didn't want her to just like flick through it and be like, done.
Yeah.
I wanted her to, you know, write a summary of what she'd learned, like bullet points. And then I was like, right, once you've done that, then we'll have another conversation about whether we'll let you have Snapchat. And then she turned 13 and we were like, oh, because we'd always used the rule of you're not really allowed to have Snapchat until you're 13. So it's not really our rules, it's their rules. And then she was like, well, I am 13 now. We eventually kind of slightly reluctantly let her have Snapchat, but she's still not got Instagram and she's still not got TikTok. And currently, because her tactic seems to be bombarding us with constant, but why. And eventually, usually, we'll just be like, ugh, I cannot cope with this conversation anymore. Okay.
Yeah.
But I feel like with Instagram and TikTok, I am holding strong. And she tells me that she's literally the only friend of hers. Like, none of her friends are being stopped from going onto these apps. What age do you think most parents allow their kids to have these kind of big social sites and access to them?
I think, unfortunately, for my sort of little bit of, when I go into schools, the first thing I ask the children is, what's your favorite thing online? And a lot of them are under 13 and they all tend, a lot of them will be on social media platforms. And so I do think they do go on. And I was on a TikTok forum earlier in the year. And they were talking about how they are so aware that parents are setting up their children, you know, these young children on the platforms. And it's a huge problem. You know, it gives them such a big job to try and remove these underage children. And then removing millions of them and trying to get them off. So yes, and they said in this forum they're fully aware that it's the parents that are setting them up. Do you think that's, and that's one of the things that I think parents really need to be educated, because I think when we look at, like, if I was to look at my, let's just put and use my example. If I was to use my Pinterest, and it's lovely, or it's not, you know, it's interior design, it's birthday cake decorations, it's at the moment there's like Christmas wreath things I've been putting down. But that doesn't mean, because mine's lovely, it doesn't mean if I let my child have that, it isn't going to be lovely. You know, we know sadly from, you know, the horrible stuff that we read in the press and the recent, you know, court case with Roy Russell, that actually most of her content, you know, the hideous suicide, pro-suicide and self-harm content was coming from Pinterest. But if I was just me as a mum going, but it's really nice, you know, we have to bear in mind that what we have on our Instagram is not going to be what your child's going to have on their Instagram. What we have on our Snapchat is not what the child's going to have on Snapchat. It's like, you can't compare the two. Like, it's just been made for us and theirs is going to be very different. So I think if we keep that in mind, it's really key. I also think, and this is quite powerful when I say it to parents, if you let your child, let's say that there was an Ofcom, last summer, Ofcom reported that the rise of the TikToks, so they were saying, I think it was something like 2/3 of 8 to 11-year-olds had TikTok accounts.
Wow.
That's a lot. Yeah. If we use the 8, if an 8-year-old is getting onto TikTok or getting onto any sort of social media, if by the time they're, so the help them think that they're 13, because you have to pretend you're 13 by putting their 13th date of birth. By the time that 8-year-old is 13, the album is going to think they're 18 and it's going to be showing them adult content. So you've just got to bear in mind as a parent, if you're going to set your child up young, they're going to be being seen stuff much earlier than perhaps they should.
Yeah.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Also, we're recording this in December, and I saw a really interesting post the other day from someone who, she must have referred in a post to Father Christmas not being real, and she was getting flack in the comments from people saying, oh, I can't believe you didn't put a warning at the start. And she was saying, look, if your kids are old enough to be on social media, they're old enough to know that Father Christmas doesn't exist, which I think kind of sums up quite nicely and points out that,
yeah,
kids are being given access to social media at an age where their parents are still pretending that Father Christmas is real. And it's, yeah, like, not sure you can have it both ways. Like, either your child is old enough to know the truth about Christmas or they're too young to be on social media.
It's so true. Do you know, I was having that exact same thought. I was thinking, so my daughter's on YouTube Kids, so I think we're okay. But I was thinking, you see all these like skits, don't you, on Instagram Reels and things where people are like, you know, doing the stockings. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, like, this is just your one step away from, like,
This is it.
Yeah, it's really true. Yeah, you're old enough, right? And if you're not, you're not. And I think
you can't have it both ways.
You can't have it both ways. There you can.
Yes. I often wonder whether, because I know that obviously you do like online courses for parents, but am I right in thinking it's more about how to talk to your kids about tech? And I often wonder whether parents should go on some kind of online tech usage course for ourselves before our kids get to a certain age, because I'm really aware that I'm teaching my children really bad habits. I saw this video on TikTok the other day, and it was like some business conference. And it was some guy, and he was at the front, and he was holding a phone, and he was like,
if I was holding my phone and talking to you, what message does that send to you? And basically the point he was making was, I'm sending you the message that you're not that important, that whatever's happening or about to happen on my phone is more important than you. And he wasn't doing it in a hugely judgmental way, but he was basically saying, if you're talking to your kid and you're like this, or your phone's on the dinner table, even if you've got it like turned over the other way upside down, think about the message that's sending your kids. And I was like, ooh, I feel really guilty because I'm always like in the middle of doing the Tesco shop and I'm like, oh, hang on a minute. And my kids are like, look at this, mummy. And I'm like, hang on. So I'm just aware of like the bad habits that I'm teaching them. So do you think that we almost need to re-educate ourselves before our kids get to that age?
Oh, 100%. In fact, I've just done a 6-week course with this amazing, amazing company called Mind Over Tech, which is exactly that. It was, they run courses basically for us who need to sort out our tech use. Because although I'm going and talking to young people about, you know, we lead by example, don't we? And if I, exactly what you're saying, you know, scrolling on my phone and I'm asking to get, you know, get off my class as I'm like scrolling on Instagram. I mean, what? That doesn't make any sense. But I went on this amazing course. Yeah, 6 weeks. It was 2 hours a week. Oh my goodness, it was the best thing. I've definitely put in some really great habits for doing that course, and I hope I continue them. So I'd highly recommend
them.
So
what's the course? Is it something that anyone can access? Can anyone book themselves onto it?
Anyone can access. Yeah, it's called Mind Over Tech, it's a company, and it's run by these two fabulous people. And you just join in. It's for 2 hours. Well, for the one I was on, it was 2 hours a week, 10 to 12 on a Thursday. And you've got like a cohort of people, and you join and you do it, and you get homework, and you get, they're called experiments. They've got experiments to do. It might be putting a post-it note on your phone, or it might be setting an alarm, which tells you to put your phone down. Little things like that. But they're just really good. It's been really brilliant. I feel much better about my tech use than having that course. So I recommend them. But exactly, I do think we do need to lead by example, don't we? Because they're looking to us. And the other thing I do with my children is I do verbalize, because I am like, this is annoying because I'm doing either some banking or the Ocado shop or something really boring, and you think it looks like I'm doing something fun. So I do say, by the way, this is not fun. I'm just doing a shopping. I'm not doing something fun. So I do sort of tell them that I'm not just sort of playing on my phone. I'm doing the dull stuff.
I think this is that's a really good point, actually, Jess. It's a really good point. And I think that now that we live and organise so much of our lives through our phones, and I remember a few years back feeling quite cross. There was like a thing that went viral. It was a notice that had been put up at a primary school, and it was something along the lines of, parents, please put your phones away when you're picking up your child. So it was something along the lines of like, your child is the most important thing to you, not your phone. And I felt really cross about it, even though I've just told you the story about how this guy was on TikTok saying this about put your phone down. Because I really felt like, hang on a minute. Like, as parents, we're at the school gates picking up our kids. But like you say, we're probably, you know, quickly answering a work email, remembering, I haven't put toilet roll on the online shop. I need to quickly do that. It's like, it's life admin. It's not, we're not like just like sending our friends a funny message or a meme or scrolling through our Pinterest pins. It's like, I don't know. It's not as cut and dry as people are more important than tech, because actually the two are intermingled so much these days, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly. And I think, I get it. It's just exactly scrolling on Instagram when you're at school dates, but you know, they need to know that, because they don't have the boring admin to do. So when they're on tech, it's only fun stuff, isn't it? They're not doing the thinking, I wish they would for the toilet rolls in the shop, but they're not. So they need to see, I think, that we are like booking the car for this MOT or doing the dull stuff as well. It's not all fun.
That's a really good point. It never occurred to me that your kids think that you are just having leisure time
all the time.
I think we do. We need to have an external monologue where it's like you're, you know, I'm putting money onto your sister's
school dinner, you know, account so that she can buy lunch today. Like, I'm not sitting here just like having fun. Something that I have heard you talk about a lot, which I love, is how not all screen time is bad. And how actually we shouldn't really be focusing on screen time.
No, we shouldn't.
We should like reframe how we talk about it. Tell me more about that.
Yeah, so this is the thing. I think it's almost a bit outdated to think about screen time, like to even focus on that sort of. But we find it hard not to. I get it. Like we panic because we're thinking, oh, they're on the screen for ages. But one of the sort of things I talk about when I do my work as lots of parents is like imagine a child on a Saturday morning. This is quite typical. They come downstairs. They might play a bit of Minecraft. Then they'll have some breakfast. They might put the telly on. Then they go off to their football practice. Then they'll come back and they'll do their homework online. They might have some lunch. They might go out for a play with a friend. Then they'll come back and they might do some reading on their Kindle. And then they might talk to their granny on a Zoom call, watch a bit more telly. It's Saturday night. So they sit down and they're having a family movie. Now, if you were to look at that screen time, flipping heck, there'll be hours. Because if you look at this, it's a fabulous screen time. And, you know, what, they did their homework, massive tick. They spoke to granny on a Zoom call. They had a family movie. You know, even I'm not saying the computer game is not good screen time either, but it's all different and they all hold different values. You know, if the same child walked downstairs, put on Minecraft and stayed there for the entire day, I mean, that would be less ideal. But I think we have to realise that different screen times hold different values and they do different things. You know, some screen time is very passive. It kind of just washes over them. I don't know, like watching TV. Sometimes you just need that. But I know I do at the end of the day. I want to sit and be like washed over. But there's other screen times. I don't know if I'm making a workshop and I'm doing all my stuff in Canva. Like, that's really productive screen time. It's still a screen, but it's different. And the same with children, you know, they'll be doing their homework. They'll be chatting to friends. Like, that's really great. That's fun. And that's different from maybe just like scrolling maybe mindlessly on Instagram. But I think it's just finding, you know, realizing that they all hold different values. And also the big thing is not to focus on the screen time, but to focus on the quality rather than the quantity. So, okay, what are you doing on your screen? What is the quality of that screen time? Is it good quality? So it might be your child is the one that wants this on Minecraft the entire day. You know, there's loads of us out. There's loads of children like that out there. I know for sure my son loves being on there all day if he could. But, you know, maybe it's finding then, okay, well, you love gaming. So let's think how we can make that a bit more quality. So perhaps you could do a course in coding, or maybe you could do some kind of computer gaming design thing. So it's sort of do the gaming, and let's also try and kind of get some skills going as well and have some better quality would be my advice.
That's really, yeah, that's brilliant advice. My 13-year-old is currently doing a lot of relentless asking about having devices in her bedroom. And it's been a hard no, and it still is a hard no.
Yeah.
It's really hard to stay strong. But last year I spoke to a psychologist for a feature that I was writing. And she said something really interesting. She said that young people's brains aren't wired to switch off. So they get a notification, they get that dopamine hit, and it keeps them going back for more. And that's why there needs to be clear boundaries in terms of, you know, times that they don't have their devices, especially, I guess, when they get to a certain age where they're maybe going to bed a bit later. You don't want them sitting, you know, my husband works at a secondary school and he's like really aware that so many of the boys are up so late, like on their devices, sending Snapchat messages and all the rest of it. It sounds like there's like a physiological reason, like an actual thing as to why we need to help our kids navigate this, but it's so hard, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's really hard. Yeah, it has been proven now that you get a hit of dopamine to the brain when you get a notification on your phone. And interestingly, you get a second, even bigger hit of dopamine to the brain with the anticipation of wondering what that message is going to be. So, you know, as adults...
Is that why they do the dot, dot, dot thing?
I expect so.
When someone's sending you a message?
Yeah, and you can see it coming. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Probably. It's all just so... I mean, they're all so clever, these people that create these algorithms. In fact, a lot of them have gone through this place at Stanford University. This guy... Is his name? It's called... They teach them captology. Like, it's literally the science of capturing our attention with technology. They learn it in this behavior design lab. It's Stanford, and actually, like Tristan Harris, who wrote The Social Dilemma, loads of the big clever people who work these algorithms have all gone through this now. Basically, learning how to like hold our attention. So you think we find it tricky, like these children, you know, I think they say now, is it 24, 25, their full brain is a completely developed. You know, that's, they've got no chance. You know, they've got their brains are working against them. Technology is working against them. Yeah, it's really, really tricky. Yeah, I did some training with the NSCCC, and these young children, really quite young children, were talking about how they just don't sleep because they're just, you know, their phones are pinging and they can't stop. They can't stop looking at the messages. So yeah, I'm with you on the hard no of tech in the bedroom.
Also, there are each app, from what I can tell, Instagram and TikTok, they also have like internal safety devices for teens, don't they? So I think Instagram have launched a new thing where any teen that downloads Instagram and creates an account, there are restrictions on it. And I think TikTok for teenagers, it will automatically switch off at a certain time, and it will encourage them to take certain like screen breaks after a certain period of time. So at least that's good. At least the tech companies are building this stuff into the apps for teenagers.
Yeah, they're helping. But I suppose the tech itself is so like Moorish that it's, you know, it's tricky for them. The other thing that I would say about tech in bedrooms overnight, as we're talking about it, I always advise, and I've read loads and loads about this online, and all these fabulous, really clever people that talk about it, and how really having phones in bedrooms overnight is a bit of a disaster. When the Internet Watch Foundation, the most amazing organization, and their job is to take down child sex material from the internet. That's their job. They're amazing. And what they've seen, the latest report that came out in the summer, what they've seen is that majority of everything they take down now is child-generated sex abuse material. So that means that the abuser's not in the room. The child is abusing themselves with their webcam, with their, you know, their phones. They're videoing themselves and taking photographs and sending it. So they wouldn't do that by themselves. They're doing it because they're being coerced and groomed into doing it. And a lot of the time they see that material, it's in bedrooms, it's in bedrooms more often than not. Sometimes it's in bathrooms, but it tends to be in bedrooms. And I think, you know, the experts would sort of say that in the quiet of night, that's when that stuff kind of can happen. So if we just keep the phones out of bedrooms while they're little, like in the actual death, that's the best thing you can do.
What sort of age would you say is okay for them to have their phone in their room?
Well, I don't know, actually. I haven't thought about this. I mean, definitely, I don't even have my phone in my room.
That's impressive.
I mean, I don't trust myself. I lost my phone outside my room, and it's the best thing I've done. In fact, since watching The Social Dilemma, I thought, that is it. I'm not having my phone in my bedroom overnight. I'm not being controlled by my phone. I charge it here in my office. So, because I also one day saw myself, you know, like you have those weird things. I saw myself like hovering above myself, imagining the children came running in the morning, getting to bed with me like they do, you know, and I was on my phone. I thought, what are you doing, Jess? Like, you're on your children don't have to see you, and you're on your phone scrolling on Instagram. I thought, no, enough. So I keep it in here. So it's not the last thing I do at night. It's not the first thing I do in the morning. And that's just such a nice, it's so nice. I have an alarm. Actually, I don't have an alarm clock. Because I did have one, but now I'm just having to use my husband. He won't put his phone out. He's always on his phone. But I'm like, his alarm wakes him up. But at least I haven't got my phone like next to me. But
Yeah. And also it's that leading by example thing as well. Because quite often my 13-year-old will say, but you have your phone in your bedroom. And like, it's that thing, isn't it? Well, you do it. Why can't I? So actually, it would make it much easier if both myself and my husband don't have our phones in our bedroom. It would be much easier to be like, well, we don't do it, so you don't get to either.
Yeah. I know. It is a really nice thing, not like being governed. But I have to say, I usually have a quick look at it, which is why I did my mind over tech course. They're like, but why are you looking at your phone? Because if I look at my phone at 10:30 before I go to bed and I see an email or I see something, I can't do anything about it. It's just gonna stress me out. So I just think, you know, there's not really much use in having it in your bedroom, because you're either going to score and keep yourself awake. The blue light is good. You know, for me, it's been good. And I also have turned all my notifications off.
I feel like that's such a game changer. The only notifications I have are my mum texts me. My mum's not on WhatsApp, so she'll text me. So that'll come through. On WhatsApp, I have my husband and my 13-year-old as like the notifications will come through, so that if she's like on her way back from school and she's having her trains being cancelled or whatever, I need to know about it. But apart from that, every single notification is switched off, and it is such a game changer, isn't it?
It really is. It really is. Although I have to say, I had a situation yesterday where I was thinking, my husband was like, why is the cat, one of our cats, haven't been, like, why is it always inside? I hadn't even noticed that it's been locked in the house. Thankfully, we have cat litter thing. We've got two cats. It's been locked in the house for 21 days. Somehow, it's chip thing. It's all like on the app. The cat flat had locked it in and made it an indoor cat. Oh my God, I felt so sad. But 21 days. I was thinking, why is it? Well, this Tracy has to get to Nick. But if I had my round thing, that there was a notification saying, River has been made into an indoor cat. And if I had no idea this happened, there, the notification would have been useful. But she's so happy now that I found a tree and that's the best man of her life. But you know, there's moments. I felt so sad. That's a bad cat money. 21 days, poor lamb.
So notifications are helpful sometimes.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, this is a big one. How worried should we be about porn, and how should we be tackling it with our kids, and at what age? How young is too young to bring it up with them?
I love this subject. I did a recent Words World run, an amazing like webinar pointsy thing with Culture Reframed. Have you heard of Culture Reframed?
No.
I think they're never too young to hear about porn. I speak to my daughter about what porn is, and I speak to my son. I want the words in this family not to be taboo and weird and not spoken about. So yeah, I absolutely bring up the subject and say, you know, it's obviously got to be age appropriate, but I'm also aware that the moment they have a connected device, they can see the stuff anyway. I've read so many sort of articles and written by young men who've said that porn destroyed their sex life. Like they grew up watching porn from quite a young age. And of course, to get it turned on, it had to get more darker and darker. And now they've got these beautiful wives and they can't have sex because they can't get it up, because they're just like, unless they're watching some sort of hideous like porn, they can't. And I just think that's just so sad. Like, to me, that's the saddest thing, that you can ruin your sex life. And these men are like, basically completely destroyed. There's lots of, I get lots of newsletters from these fabulous organisations that have these young men like talking very openly about how it's kind of really. So I think, you know, they say it's sort of 11 is the age that children see porn for the first time, is the average age. So I think talking to them from a young age is important. And also talking to them about what is and isn't real, because actually, you know, that stuff isn't real. They don't talk about consent. You know, it's not normal sex. This is what I say to the children. This is not. If you ever see this stuff, this is not normal. It's not normal. Like, don't think that's normal, and that's what grown-ups do, because it's not.
Finally, Jess, where can we find you online to hear more from you? Because I know that you have lots of really brilliant tips and bits of advice on your Instagram, haven't you? Where can we find you?
Yes. So my Instagram is the_socialJess. So please come. That's where I hang out the most. So please come and find me there. And I try and kind of put useful tips out. If there's like a new game that's come out or something, I'll try and kind of help us parents out on there. I also run corporate workshops, which I love doing. So if you wanted me to come in and talk online to your, I've noticed that lots of businesses now, it's also when I was in corporate world, this wasn't a thing, but a lot of the businesses have parenting groups. So I've done lots of corporate workshops with kind of parenting groups. I also do private workshops for groups of friends. I can do that on Zoom, and I also go into schools and speak to young people. So they're all different ways that I can work with people, and you can find me on Instagram and send me a DM and I'll be really happy to have a chat with you. But I'm just very passionate about it, as you can probably tell.
Yeah, you can tell. It's brilliant. Thank you so much for joining me today. It's been so great to chat to you.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been lovely being here.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.